Thank you for the introduction. The emissions of greenhouse gases from human activities are the main driver of climate change. And agriculture in the U.S. is responsible for around 9% of total greenhouse gas emissions. So within agriculture, soil management is responsible for a little bit over 55% of the emissions. And these emissions include the use of fertilizer and crop management. Second in importance comes enteric fermentation that produces methane, and then manure management that produces methane and nitrous oxide. So it is estimated by FAO that we'll need to increase agricultural production in 70% by 2050 in order to attend the increasing demand of the growing population of Earth. So the challenge then becomes, how are we going to achieve this greater food production while minimizing negative effects on the environment, particularly on greenhouse gas emissions? And also another question that we have is, how can we improve the estimates of greenhouse gas emissions from agricultural systems in order for us to actually use this information to make management decisions? So typically, nitrogen chemical fertilizers are used in agricultural production systems to increase overall yield and production. However, this is the farm input that has the greatest associated carbon footprint. On the other hand, the nitrogen that is provided by legumes through biological nitrogen fixation is emissions neutral. And not only that, but it has been reported in the literature that when animals are fed diets that have the inclusion of legumes, typically the emissions of methane from enteric fermentation are smaller than that of animals that are grazing grass diets. So typically, when we include legumes in animal diet, we increase the level of crude protein of these diets, and this might increase the amount of nitrogen that's being excreted by the animals. So the nitrogen content in animal excreta has been directly and positively related to the emissions of nitrous oxide from animal excreta. And in addition to that, typically low C2N ratios on animal dung can increase methane emissions from that source. So when we are looking at the inclusion of legumes and we're looking at the production system as a whole, we need to question ourselves regarding the fact that even though we observe a decrease in emissions of methane from enteric fermentation, if that might be offset by the increase of nitrous oxide emissions and methane emissions from animal excreta. And in this context, it's important to note that nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas that is almost 300 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So this study that I'm presenting today is part of a larger research effort where we are not only working to define but also to quantify the ecosystem services from mixed grass legumes relative to unfertilized grass pastures. So we have two objectives for this particular study. The first one is to quantify the effect of the inclusion of legumes in pastures on methane emissions from animal dung and nitrous oxide emissions from urine and dung, and also to determine whether or not the nitrous oxide emissions from dung and urine should be accounted for separately when we're using model estimates. So currently, most models use nitrogen content times an emission factor that combines emissions from both urine and dung in one only emission factor. So for this, we have two diets. One was pure Bahia grass pasture fertilized with nitrogen fertilizer, and the other one was a mixture of Bahia grass and rhizoma peanut. So before we collected the excreta, we allowed animals to graze for 7 days. And we can see on this table that the crude protein and digestibility were higher for the mixtures of rhizoma peanut and Bahia grass. And this mixture here was composed of 55% legume and 35% grass. So we performed the excreta collection as described by Whiteleach and collaborators, and we composited each excreta across animals grazing the same diet. So this table here is showing the nitrogen content of urine of animals grazing Bahia grass and rhizoma peanut Bahia grass pastures, and we see that for urine, the nitrogen content was equal for animals grazing the two diets, However, for the dung, we see that animals grazing Rhizoma peanut had greater nitrogen content on relative to those grazing by hair grass. So we use static chambers to collect gases, and we applied 2 liters to a 30 centimeter radius base chamber, or 2 kilograms of dung in a 15 centimeter radius base chamber. And because of the difference in nitrogen content between animals grazing different diets, there was more nitrogen being applied in the treatments that came from animals grazing Rhizoma peanut. We applied the same treatments and treatment rates to an adjacent area for exploratory measurements, namely water-filled pore space. So the experimental design was a completely randomized design with 4 replicates. And for the methane samples, the treatments were the 2 diets because they were only collected from the dung samples. And for nitrous oxide, we collected the treatments were a factorial of 2 excreta types and 2 diets. So we collected 4 samples per deployment time, and the collections occurred daily for the first week of this experiment, and then 3 times a week thereafter. And we analyzed the samples through gas chromatography. So let's take a look at results. So this graph here is showing the flux of methane on the y-axis and the days on the x-axis. So first thing that you note is that there was more emissions here for the dung coming from animals grazing bahia grass, and the peak of emissions occurred at higher level and also earlier for that treatment relative to the Rhizoma peanut treatment. We can also see on this graph that the emissions were significant about 2 to 8 days, right here, which is within the range that has been presented by other research done on with this kind of experiment. So this graph is showing the cumulative emissions for this 1 month period of collection. The first thing that you see is that there was a difference for cumulative emissions, so that the emissions coming from the dung of animals that were grazing pure bahia grass was around 1.5 times greater than that of animals that were grazing the Rhizoma peanut mixtures. One of the reasons for that is possible that the dung coming from bahia grass had a greater moisture level, and that might have created a more anaerobic environment within that dung, which would favor methanogenic production. So if we were to consider that one animal defecates around 11.6 times a day and multiply that by 365 days in a year, we estimate that animals grazing bahia grass have the potential to emit around 140 grams of methane per animal per year, which is greater than that of Rhizoma peanut with 95 grams. So this range of emissions is in agreement with other emission data that has been reported in the literature, but we like to emphasize that it is a lot lower than what is typically used by regulatory agencies when they're estimating greenhouse gas budgets in national levels. So taking a look now at the nitrous oxide emissions, we have the same construction here. So the flux of nitrous oxide on the y-axis and the days on the x-axis. And so there was no effect of diet on nitrous oxide emissions, but there was an effect of excreta type, where typically the emissions from dung were higher when they were different than that of the emissions coming from urine. So this range is within the range that has been published before. And one thing that I like to emphasize, you can see here the zero on the y-axis. So we did observe some negative fluxes of nitrous oxide into the soil, which is also referred to by in the literature as nitrous oxide uptake. So this has been reported before to occur typically in soils that have low nitrogen content and large water-filled pore space. And we can see that here, typically at higher water-filled pore space, we had more negative fluxes of nitrous oxide. And another explanation of what could have been happening during this period is that denitrifying bacteria might use nitrous oxide as an electron acceptor at low nitrate content in the soil. So this is kind of in agreement with what we would expect in typical Florida soils that are basically very sandy. So again, we're looking at cumulative emissions for this collection period of 1 month. And we had, again, no difference, no effect of diet on these emissions. However, there was an effect of excreta with negative emissions for urine, positive emissions from dung. And this difference between the two excreta types supports this idea that we have to account for the emissions separately. So just to summarize the results that we found, when we were looking at methane emissions from animal dung, we found that there were lower emissions coming from animals that were grazing grass legume diets relative to those that were grazing pure bahia grass pastures. And also the emissions that we found in this study were a lot lower than those used to estimate greenhouse gas budgets. When looking at the nitrous oxide results from urine and dung, we didn't find any effect of diet. However, we did find that there were more emissions coming from animal dung relative to urine. And also we did observe nitrous oxide uptake, particularly when we're looking at the urine treatment. Implications of these results include that the adoption of foraged legumes in warm climates might reduce greenhouse gas emissions in beef production systems. And also, we know that there is more research that is necessary to assess the real effect of legume adoption on greenhouse gas emissions. Thank you for your attention. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Yes. So the question was if the methane emissions coming from the dung were comparative to the emissions from enteric fermentation. So typically, when we're estimating emissions from beef production systems, the enteric fermentation corresponds to around 50% or 60% of total emissions, and emissions of methane coming from manure will be like 10%. So yeah, so typically the emissions coming from enteric fermentation are a lot larger.
Yeah, so I had kind of a hard time, I was getting too far back, seeing the units on the axis, but it seemed to me like the nitrous oxide emissions were quite low. How did they compare to what you might expect for other studies? Were they very low?
Okay, so the question was looking at the nitrous oxide emissions, if they were very low compared to what have been observed by other researchers. So there is a lot of variability in these measurements. We did find results that were very similar to this coming from research done, for example, in Brazil, which will have like a comparable maybe soil and climate condition. But they can be a lot larger, especially if you're looking at production systems that have a lot more nitrogen input. So they are comparable to things that we've seen before, but they are low relative to the whole of the literature that has been published.
Another question? I have a question. Is a Rhizoma peanut a bloating legume?
So the question is Rhizoma peanut a bloating legume? And I'll say probably no. I don't think I've seen any issues with management.
So.
Yeah. So it's typically more at the, No. Yeah.
Just curious. Any other question? Okay, thank you.